Welcome to Animal Concerns of Texas, ACT Radio. I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Linney.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT, we discuss how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
And we also discuss why a plant-based diet is the healthiest for humans and the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Joining us on today's show, we have a conversation with Stephanie C., who's the media coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign, an organization which works to protect the bison of Yellowstone National Park. That's coming up a little later on the show, but first some news.
From Veg News Magazine, a new report from Allied Market Research predicts that the meat alternatives market will reach $5.2 billion by 2020. The research profiled meatless meat producers such as Amy's Kitchen, Beyond Meat, Garden Protein International, Corn, and Morningstar Farms to reveal that meat alternatives such as tofu and soy products, but increasingly vegetable-based proteins, are slated to experience a compound annual growth of 8.4% overall. According to the report, increasing health awareness coupled with increasing consciousness towards environmental sustainability and animal welfare have been the major factors driving the growth of the meat substitute market. The report also revealed that while Europe and North America are the largest consumers of meat alternatives, Asia Pacific is the largest growing market. While consumers are focused on frozen meatless products, the dry snack market is expected to grow the fastest. Meat alternatives have seen double-digit growth in recent years, and the report predicts that fast food companies such as KFC, McDonald's, and Burger King will strengthen their meat substitute product line to meet the increasing consumer demand, a trend that Wendy's, Subway, Taco Bell, and White Castle have already begun to adapt with new vegan options.
The trade associations representing the meat and dairy industries are among the most powerful lobbies in Washington, and they're about to get some company that could level the playing field. Last week, a new plant-based trade group, the Plant-Based Food Association, officially launched, consisting of 23 companies, including founding members Daya Foods, Follow Your Heart, Miyoko's Kitchen, the Tofurky Company, and Upton's Naturals. The coalition was formed with the goal of giving plant-based foods a voice in Washington, D.C. Executive Director Michelle Simon said the time has come for the plant-based food industry to also have a collective voice. Simone is a lawyer and food policy expert. The Plant-Based Food Association plans to lobby Congress to shift policy towards plant-based foods, particularly in school lunch programs, which have always been strongly influenced by the meat and dairy industries. Elizabeth Kucinich, a sustainable food advocate and wife of Democratic politician Dennis Kucinich, will lead the group's Washington, D.C. office and will push for plant-based food policies in government agencies. Ms. Kucinich has already participated in discussions about food policy in Congress and written a letter to the Agriculture Department expressing disappointment over the failure to include a clear recommendation on reducing red meat consumption in the new federal dietary guidelines. The association will lobby for federal subsidies for plant-based milks to be served in school lunchrooms. Schools are currently reimbursed only for serving dairy milk. According to the Plant-Based Food Association, the plant-based food industry generates $3.5 billion in sales annually. Overall sales of food products grew 3.7% last year, while sales of products made with plant proteins grew 8.7%. The CEO of the Tofurky Company, Jaime Athos, predicted that in the next 5 to 10 years, we will see a massive explosion of interest in plant-based foods.
A researcher at the University of Helsinki and her American colleagues report that intense fishing of primarily larger fish not only makes fish populations smaller, it changes the remaining fish. When the fish, which have had a chance to reproduce before being caught, are smaller and have reached sexual maturity earlier, these characteristics are passed down to future generations. In many fish populations targeted by intense fishing, such as Atlantic cod across the western coast of North America, the sizes of fish have been observed to have decreased and the age of sexual maturity to have been reduced. Fish are often at the top of the food web in aquatic ecosystems, so these changes in fish can have broader consequences which involve the entire ecosystem. The researchers have studied how fishing changes the ways aquatic ecosystems function. They use computer-generated simulations to help them model the interactions between species and the flow of energy through the food web, as well as the overall dynamics of the ecosystem. The research focused on the fishing of perch and whitefish in Lake Constance, which borders Switzerland, Germany, and Austria. Simulations describing the development of the ecosystem targeted by fishing indicated that once intense fishing causes fish to become smaller and reach sexual maturity earlier, the production of plankton in the lake becomes unstable. In a similar fashion, the sizes of the fish populations and their production of offspring fluctuate greatly from year to year. Head researcher Anna Kaperin states that if the changes in the fish are genetic, the stability of the fish populations and the lake ecosystem cannot be regained, even if fishing was permanently ended. The study demonstrates how important it is to consider the entire ecosystem and indirect impacts on other species that the impact of fishing is having. Her collaborator, Dr. Neo Martinez from the University of Arizona, adds that the many food chains leading to fish form complex webs. The better we understand this complexity, the better we can understand how fishing impacts fish and the environment. So let's leave fish for natural predators in our sea and lakes.
Stay with us. Coming up next, a conversation with Stephanie C., the media coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign, a grassroots organization which worked to protect the bison of Yellowstone, who were being killed by the National Park Service to protect the profits of the cattle industry. That's next on ACT Radio.